from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Don't you worry with the bitter hearts are gonna say, it just takes some time, little girl, you're in the lit. Okay, all right, welcome in, welcome back. Hour two, the Rob Brown Show goes now. Don't ask, I'm not going to explain it. I'm the great one, Rob Brown. I'm just the average Rob Brown.
If you want an explanation, you can join us on the stream.
You should. You're demanded to join us on the stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, or the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. If you're a Twitcher, if you got a Twitch, join us there at the Rob Brown Show. We stream all 4 hours, all 5 days a week live. You're welcome. Lonzo and I stay on the stream during most of the breaks, have conversations with you guys in the background. And on top of all that, it's a community we're trying to build, all right? Most of the folks we see in there, we got guys like Trey and Jacob and Michael in there. They're in there most days of the week. And, you know, we got a nice little community of P1s that hang out every day. Join them and join us. You can ask questions, have conversations with us that we don't have on the air, sometimes do. You can just say the title of a song and know that you've got it stuck in my head for a couple of hours. You know, we started this morning with Dream Is Over, and now I got Jimmy Eat World in the noggin.
That's not what you started with this morning, so I'm glad people are taking care of that.
Oh, I started with Cher, yes. This AM.
Yes.
All right? Because what am I supposed to do? Just sit around and wait for you? Well, I can't do that. There's no turning back.
I got to admit, I don't think I know the entire lyrics to any song for Cher. And you were just killing it this morning.
Do you believe in love after love after love after love? How do you not know Cher, man? Cher's a clout. You know Sonny and Cher. You know some Sonny and Cher bangers for sure.
Yeah, maybe I'll sing Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. I don't know.
I got you, babe. Bum, 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 bum.
All right,
bum, bum.
I do know the words, but that's like has 10 total words in the entire song.
So. No, it doesn't. That's actually a really good song. It's actually hey, what?
You know, Sonny Bono died, right?
Yeah, he
smacked a tree.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to not say it like that, but that is exactly correct. Hey, Dad.
You shouldn't do that when you're going down a hill really fast.
No, in fact, you should ski everywhere except where the trees are, actually. I think that's actually the point of the skiing, is to not be where things are, just things in general. houses, rocks, trees, cliffs, whatever. Just don't be there. That's the point of skiing.
The only excuse is if you're being chased by a Squatch.
So there's no excuse. Got it. Say we're young and we don't know. All right, I got to stop. I got to stop.
Yeah, because that's a duet song and I ain't doing that.
I'll do Cher's part. I ain't too proud. Cher was a looker back in the day, dude.
She was.
Cher was a looker back in the day.
I had some recurring nightmares about that show, though. It was weird.
About Sonny and Cher?
Yeah, because we watched that every week and yeah.
Oh, I forgot you are.
Yes.
Seasoned.
I am that.
Ripe.
No, I was sitting here thinking earlier, man, I am a few weeks away from being closer to 60. Oh.
What's the bigger existential crisis, 40, 50, or 60?
40 was.
I think 40 is, because like,
yeah, because you're approaching,
you're not it. Young anymore.
But I've already been 40 and 50, and now 60 is. I think like mornings like this, you know why? I think, am I still doing this in like 5 years? Because there's some headaches that go with this job, yep, that I just don't want.
Like it's. I think with 40, when you hit 40, I think you've officially left behind even the illusion that you're leaving your youth behind, right? Like you're 40. You're not a youth anymore. You can still be young and you can still be youthful, but you ain't young anymore. Whereas when you get to 50, you've been 40 for 10 years now, right? Like there's no more disillusion that I'm still young. No, you're 50, dude. Like no, you are well past half the average age of Americans, you know, point.
See, that's what I was going to say. Once you reach 50, you start realizing.
Yeah, you're more than halfway home.
What the, oh, two-thirds,
yeah,
maybe, because if the average age.
The average age is 77 right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not that's not that far away from me. So, especially because years go by faster and faster as you get older, and then you start sitting there thinking, oh, crap. Man, I'm almost dead.
Yeah, I think that's it. And now I
what have I done with my life? And you know, you do all that kind of stuff.
Do you start to accept it more though? Like, because I think that's the thing. Like, when you're 20, 25, the concept of I'm not going to be here forever, I think it's like way off in the distance. But like, as you age. I think at some point, don't you kind of have to accept, like, yeah, I mean, the expiration point's real for all of us.
You do, but I also have family members who lived into their hundreds. So, that average age for me may be a little bit more than, you know, I have relatives right now that are in their 80s and 90s. So, I mean, that is a possibility. I ain't gonna be able to move, and I'll have no idea what's going on, but I might still be alive.
For the record, so do I, but it's all the women in my family. The dudes in my family are, like, cooked at 65, right? Like, if I was you but in my family, I'm just like, all right, YOLO for the rest of the ride. I'm almost done. Hey, it's just, and I think the nice thing about that is.
Wow, that, you know how that made me feel if I was you.
Yeah, but you're not in my family. You're fine.
Yeah, that's
you got
true.
Them good genes, right? I don't, and I know it. So I think that's kind of almost helped me embrace it a little bit. So I'm like, I'm 40, dude. Like, I'm just going to enjoy the hell out of it now. I'm not going to be, not that I'm not like preparing for retirement and you know, my after work period. But like, I'm also like, I'm going to retire. And then I got like on average in my family, I'm going to retire and then have like 6 weeks, right? Like I'm going to Bear Bryant it. Be like, I'm done work. And that's it for me. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of my 40s.
You just, you're taking it to the most morbid you can get. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about death, but, you know, only in a sense that.
I'm not prepared for it.
Yeah, I don't want it to happen anytime soon. I really want my kids to have to take care of me.
Listen.
And I want to. They'll never believe that if my cognitive skills and all those things go down, they'll think I'm faking. They'll think I'm faking the whole time to get them to take care of me. So, I mean, you know, will I be joking or not? They'll never know.
Exactly. I hope I raise the average age of the expiration date of dudes in my family by like 40 years. But reality is that ain't how it works. So, yeah, I'm gonna do all the dumb stuff in my 40s. And get it out of the way. And if I make it to 65, all right, I'm a little poorer than maybe I should have been. But also is the other thing. What am I going to be able to do at 65 with money that I would enjoy doing it more in my 40s and then just living in a smaller house. You know what I mean?
I think maybe driving a really fast car. I think you
can
enjoy it.
Turns out I can do that now.
Yeah.
In fact, not only can I do it now, but based on some of y'all old folks I've seen driving on the roads, I'm probably better at it now than I will be at 65.
If you get rich.
And I swear to you, if I get behind another Porsche that's doing 5 under the speed limit, I'm going to wreck it off the road myself.
Dude, if you have a Porsche and you really shouldn't afford it, but you got it anyway, you're probably going to be extra careful with it. I'm just guessing.
Jersey Joe says, 60 is no big deal. I'm approaching 61, and like I tell people, I may be old, but I refuse to grow up. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be an idiot forever,
Have you heard this show? I'm good as far as that goes.
Can I tell you? All right, real quick, because we do have to get to the water cooler cheat sheet here, but here's what I'm going to tell people. There's been a lot of, and I think this is a good thing, to the chagrin of many of you. There's been this revolution over the past like 15, 20 years in America where people are starting to realize it's okay to be yourself. You do not have to conform to what is, you need to be a grown-up man. It's like, yeah, I'm going to take care of my responsibilities, but I also still like comic books. Shut the hell up. You just be who you are, and to hell with anybody who doesn't like it. And I think that is grand, but there's been one real fun side effect. And that is more bros are staying bros longer, which has always been the case. Dudes do not mature past 25. We age and we get more responsible, or at least you're supposed to. You get more responsible, but we don't like, we still like what we like, right? And whatever you liked at 25, you're gonna like at 55. It's just that we've always been told, like, that's not what a man doesn't watch comic book movies. And now we're like, yeah, screw you, we absolutely do. And as that becomes like the thing, my favorite thing now is watching specifically like the women of the internet that are completely like, all our husbands like comic book movies and they all wear football shirts. Like, dude, always have. We just don't care what you think anymore. And it's awesome. It's so much more fun to not care. We're not attracted. Okay. I'm going to go hang out with Dave and watch some football this weekend. Your loss, Linda. Your loss. All right. Very abbreviated version.
It would have to be Linda.
It's sure. Got to be Linda. No, all due respect to all the Lindas that are listening right now. All right?
There might be some cool Lindas
out there. There's a lot of cool Lindas out there, but there's also some that are not cool.
I don't know any Lindas.
I know like three, and two of them are very cool, and one of them, I don't know her because I want to. All right? I know her because I'm obligated to.
I'm glad you clarified there because I was a little confused. Yeah. But okay, all right.
Hey, water cooler cheat sheet. Water cooler cheat sheet, top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. We've got no time to waste. Item number 1. Relax, non-baseball fans. There's only like 30 more days until baseball scores aren't a consistent item on the water cooler cheat sheet. But for now, shut up. They are. All right? 8-6 winners last night. The Atlanta Braves, it moves them now to a dozen games over 500. Would you look at that? They were sitting just a few weeks ago at 6 games over 500. Now 12 games over 500 off of 4.2 innings and an 8K performance out of rookie Spencer Schwellenbach, who has been Schwell since the All-Star break. Gave up 5 hits, 3 walks, but K'd 8 and surrendered no runs. Uncle Jesse Chavez came in, gave up 3 in just 1 inning. Joe Jimenez gave up another 1 in his next inning. And that brought the score from a 4-1 Braves lead to a 4-4 tie at the end of 9. So off to extras we go. Well, wouldn't you know it? But in the top of the 10th, as the Bravos were playing the second in a 7-game road stretch, Atlanta put 4 across the plate, taking 8-4 lead into the bottom of the 10th. They did give 2 back to the Twinsies, but they're able to stop the bleeding there. Atlanta with an 8-6 win last night over Minnesota. That, because of a Phillies win over Houston, their second in a row, leaves the Braves lead over the Mets at 3 games, but also keeps them 6 games in the hole in the NL East, and they are running out of time. I am not saying the Braves can't win the division. But I'm saying they won't win the division. Six games in 29 is going to be real. It would take not just a remarkable run by Atlanta, but it would take a cataclysmic collapse by the Philadelphia Phillies to get the division back. I don't think that's going to happen. I do need the Braves to be in a wild card spot because I am at the point now where, like, okay, the bats are getting back. The bats are warming up a little bit. Had 10 hits last night. The bats are back, and that's been the missing piece, the bats. Guys are starting to get healthy. You make it to the playoffs, Austin Riley can come back. Michael Harris II will be fully recovered from the time that he spent away. Pitching staff will be fully healthy again. This is good. This is a good time for the Braves to start to warm up. We always say September is moving month. I just need them in a wild card spot. Let's get very quickly to item number two. Glug, glug, glug. Okay, there we go. 53-man rosters are set around the NFL after cut day yesterday. The Carolina Panthers, of course, no different. They had to make their cuts yesterday amongst the most surprising, although there weren't really any big-time surprising cuts. Amongst the most surprising cuts, LSU wide receiver Terrace Marshall Jr., who has been with the team since 2021, was amongst 25 players that were waived yesterday by the Panthers. Marshall has appeared in 36 games for the team, 64 catches, 767 yards, and one touchdown during his time in Carolina. Outside of that, to me, there was nothing really shocking about the cuts. There was nobody really jumping off the page of players that were waived by the Panthers yesterday. There are a couple of names I will keep an interested eye in moving forward. Mike Boone, the running back, is one of them. Dave Canales singled him out by name, saying that Boone impressed him in the preseason with the ruthless aggression with which he ran the football. Canales said he hopes he makes it through the waiver wire process to be picked up for the practice squad. I won't be shocked if he doesn't. But outside of that, no real names that jumped off the page. There were some for other teams that did, but outside of TMJ, and honestly, I'm not really shocked by that, nobody for the Panthers. Let's get very quickly to item number three. This one is quite interesting. The Clemson Tigers set to take on the Georgia Bulldogs coming up this Saturday at noon in Atlanta, Georgia.
Dogs and cats. Wow.
Oh, it is. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria! They will not be living together. They'll be fighting as nature intended.
At somebody else's house.
In a bird's house, ironically enough. Anyway, how about this? A little bit of a breath here for the Clemson Tigers as Georgia's backfield decimated for this game. Why? Because last year's leading rusher, Roderick Robinson, had surgery on his toe and will miss at least the opener against Clemson on Saturday. But wait, there's more. Georgia running back Trevor Etienne, yes, he is the little brother of former Clemson Tiger Travis Etienne. Trevor Etienne is being punished by the football program after he was charged with several misdemeanors, including a DUI. And despite reaching a deal with prosecutors to dismiss those charges, Georgia is sitting him down for a one-game suspension, noting that Georgia Athletic Department policy mandates a punishment of 10% of the football season for all players who are found guilty of a DUI. It does remain unclear if Etienne's plea agreement changes the length of the suspension that the Dogs are hitting him with, but they are hitting him with one. Now, you go, wait a minute, Rob. Georgia's had a lot of players who have gotten traffic infractions. Yes, but Georgia policy specifically singles out the charge of a DUI, which is what Etienne got popped with, which means that Georgia will take on Clemson this Saturday without their top two running backs. And their third running back got very little live action in the preseason, meaning that the Clemson Tiger defensive line, I'm going to tell you right now, Zoe, blitz, 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 blitz. Do not be afraid of the run. Go attack. Pin the ears back and go attack. We're going to talk about that coming up a little bit later when we get in depth into exactly what the Clemson Tigers need to do in order to win this football game. Also, we'll tell you, and this is for tomorrow, but also we'll tell you that starting tomorrow, we do have a new South Carolina beat reporter who will be joining us on Thursdays to talk Gamecock football. However, that ain't going to stop us from talking Gamecocks and Monarchs, Tigers and Bulldogs and Paladins and Rebels all coming up today on the show. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob Brown. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. The Fan Upstate on your radio, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, and free on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Put it on all your digital devices and don't miss a minute of the action. Plus, we podcast the show on the app and on all major streaming services within minutes of the conclusion of the broadcast, meaning if you miss a segment of the Rob Brown Show, you can get it right after it concludes. You're welcome. Make sure you subscribe to the Fan Upstate and the Rob Brown Show wherever major podcasts are found. Texas says, Rob, after the last 2 years, I'm fine with the Braves not winning the division. The week off, that week off has not been good for us. Yeah, and that's kind of the opposite of what the Braves have done the last couple of years. The last couple of years, the Bravos got hot out of the All-Star break. The problem is this year they did not. And more importantly than that, the problem is, much like the last couple of years, the door was opened for Atlanta, right? Philly stank coming out of the break. Philly went 12-19 out of the break. Philly had the worst record out of the break, including the White Sox, through the first 2.5 weeks after the break. The door was wide open for Atlanta to walk through it. And if not outright claim the divisional lead, at least get themselves into contention for it. At least close that gap down to maybe a game or two. They didn't do it. They didn't take advantage of that. There are multiple issues with this team. The injuries have been one of them, sure. This team is a different team if Spencer Strider doesn't go down, for instance. This team is obviously a different team. Even if he was not having the same season as last year, if reigning, defending, undisputed National League MVP Ronald Acuña Jr. doesn't go down, we know all this. This team's also a different team. If you didn't go from a bunch of guys last year who were all having career years, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, Austin Riley, et cetera, all of whom have struggled with either injuries or just a cold bat. Matt Olson led the league in dingers and ribbies last year. You know what he leads the league in this year? Strikeouts. It's been a problem. Now, I have said a couple of times, and I'm not backing off of this. Even if the Braves get hot, go on a run, close this down to 2-3-1-0 games, even if the Braves end up back into contention for this NL East, I am going to stand on what I have said a number of times. I'm kind of losing my admiration for Brian Snicker. I appreciate the World Series. All right, I wore my World Series cap yesterday out and about for a little while. I'll never forget it. Winning that World Series, it was one of the best days ever. All right, I stayed up very late into the evening. It was during the dark times. Well, it was after the dark times, but we weren't really back yet. I stayed at home to watch us win the World Series. And then I ended up on a FaceTime call with a bunch of my best Bravos friends drinking very expensive whiskey well into the morning to celebrate. I'll never forget that night. It was phenomenal. I was taking pictures of my TV because I wasn't out in public to celebrate with people. And still, one of the best nights of my life. I'll always appreciate it. But I also look at what's happened this year. And I feel like Brian Snicker has been sluggish. I feel like Brian Snicker has been kind of lackadaisical in terms of his approach to management for this team. I have questioned many of the pitching decisions that he has made in certain spots. There was a game a week and a half ago where the Braves were like down 10. Late in the game. And he brings Joe Jimenez out of the bullpen to throw an inning. Why? Why would you waste that arm? Why would you waste that arm when you expect to get right back onto the horse the next day? Why would you throw out there onto the bump one of the few arms that has treated you well this season and burn him up in that spot? I didn't understand it. And that's kind of a microcosm, an illustration of what Brian Snicker has been this year. How many times have I said this year, like, I am concerned that Snit, and this is a joke, but I'm concerned Snit has like a mild touch of narcolepsy, right? Because I can't tell you how many times the Braves have been in a tough spot where they need some decisions to be made, and then they throw the camera over to Snit, and he's just sitting there. I'm like, yeah, my guy. Are you going to say something? Are you going to do something? And far be it from me to question a manager who's won a World Series. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because that, like, do something. Say something. Make a move. Make a decision. And he might have been given, like, the biggest pep rally speech of all time right before they cut to him. And it was just bad timing. But, like, it happened a lot of the times. They never seem to catch an animated Brian Snicker. A Brian Snicker who's got the clipboard and he's tinkering, right? It's like that's never a thing. And so I've gotten concerned about that. And I still am. I'm not changing that feeling, even if the Braves do barnstorm. Because here's the reality. It won't be because of Brian Snicker. It'll just be because the bats have woken up, right? If it was going to be because of Snit, it would not have taken Atlanta 130 games. Actually, sorry. Yeah, about 130 games to get right. 133 or whatever it is we're at now. It wouldn't have taken them that long to get right. This would have happened 40, 50 games ago. But it didn't. I really do think this is just a matter of some of the guys had a real bad start and middle of the year, and now they're waking up a little bit. So I'm with you, Texter. I'm with you in that I'm not super concerned about winning the division. And there's another reason for that. Remember, only the top get the bye, right? Only the top get the bye. And I think at this point, I think I'm pretty comfortable to say I think I'm okay maybe even not getting a bye, right? Top two teams, top two divisional winners get the bye. The one seed has been a death sentence the last handful of years for teams. One seeds aren't doing anything. One seeds are getting bounced out in the divisional round at a stupid rate, like a almost mathematically impossible rate. They've been getting bounced. And I've talked to Cody Decker about this, my host on Saturday's Bet for the Cycle, which airs from noon to 4 on the BetQL network and free on the Odyssey app, noon to 4. And by the way, for those of you that go, I'm not listening to that, I'm not a baseball fan, please keep in mind that now that it is football season, we have rotated our coverage over to football. But I've asked Deck about this. I'm like, yo, why do you think this is the case? As a former MLB-er, why do you think this is the case? And Deck's answer was, when it comes to hitting in Major League Baseball, it's timing-based. It's timing-based. It's rhythm-based. It's about knowing, get the foot up, set the foot down, turn the shoulders, get the bat through, and being able to sync that up. And once you get into a rhythm, you guys know this, right? You've got habits that you're in a rhythm. And once you're in a rhythm, that thing, bang, 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 you're knocking it out. But if something takes you out of that groove, something takes you out of that rhythm, you gotta start the whole thing back over. You got to go back to scratch, right? And that's what happens to hitters. To some degree, pitchers as well. But it certainly happens to hitters. So teams that have to play in the wild card round and they're not taking a week off, they're staying in that rhythm. They're staying in that groove. And even though they do face one more round that they can get bounced, if you make it through that round, you're still in a rhythm going up against a team that did not and is not. So I don't care if we don't win the division. I don't care if we're a wild card team. The only thing that is a bummer about it is that if you are the third wild card team, every series is on the road. I'd rather be wild card team number one, the wild card team that hosts in the wild card round for sure, and give yourself a chance that if the other wild card team that makes it to the divisional round also takes down their divisional round opponent who took a week and a half off, you would host the NLCS. So I'm good with it. But as Trey pointed out, who could have done better with all the injuries the Braves had? Not many teams. The Dodgers, maybe, because they've had the same thing happen and they have done better. But you're starting to heat up. And September's the month you got to be the best. That's just how baseball playoffs work. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with some football on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. Look, I think you want to beat teams when they are at their full strength. But I also know that that's an idealistic viewpoint, right? Because the reality is, and I don't care what week of football you're talking about, no team is 100% after week one. And I think it's fair to say most teams aren't 100% entering week one, right? Because you've got preseason and you've got scrimmages and you've got practices and two-a-days and all that and all the things that football players go through in the offseason. Most teams aren't 100% when you get into week one. But week one is the healthiest that any team is going to be. It is a physical, violent sport. You get into a couple of collisions in week one, you're just not going to be the same until the end of the season. At the same time, I think if you're Clemson, you play the hand you're dealt. You play the hand you're dealt. You play the team that's across from you, and you go out there and you adapt to whatever shortcomings that team has. And if that team has shortcomings that are no fault of your own or even no fault of their own, you still try to take advantage of those shortcomings. The Georgia Bulldogs, Clemson's week one opponent, they got a shortcoming now. All of the sudden, they're down to their third running back, just like that. Roderick Robinson, who was their rushing leader from last year, a sophomore, is out because he had a toe injury that required surgery. We do not know how long he'll be out. We do know he will be out for week one. Trevor Etienne, the little brother of former Clemson Tiger running back Travis Etienne, is out this Saturday because he caught a Dewey charge back in the offseason, and Georgia mandates a 10% of the season suspension. Of course, the season being 12 games long, 10% is 12% or is one game effectively, right? I'm real bad at math. That's why all my jobs are words jobs. But it's one game. There is also the potential for it to be longer depending on how the charges work out. Etienne did reach a deal with prosecutors that dropped the charges, but he still caught the Dewey, and Georgia's guidelines for football are that a DUI is an automatic suspension, even if it's just for one game. Georgia, of course, opens with the Tigers. This means that this team is down to the third string running back. The Georgia Bulldogs are. That is Branson Robinson. Branson Robinson did not play last year, had a knee injury that caused him to miss the game. The fourth string running back, who will be moving up to RB2 for this contest more than likely, is a redshirt junior with a dope name. His name is Cash. Cash Jones. Cash Jones is a 182-pound scat back, all right? There's not really a ton of power run available for Georgia. Now, Branson Robinson goes 5'10", 220. He got a little mass to him, all right? He's got a big old mass to him, and he can probably hit the hole.
How are his calves, though?
That's a great question. I got to go look up Branson Robinson. See if he's got that quadzilla to him. See if he's got them thighs to him. He's a pretty stout fella. He's got one of them DK Metcalf six packs. You know what I mean? That six pack that it's like, yeah, you're one of the few dudes that I'm like, you wear a crop top. What the hell am I gonna say, right? Like that dude's jacked. He's got some sturdy to him. He's a thick boy. All right, but that's the guy they got, and it's a guy coming off a knee injury who has not played football for effectively 2 years now, right? A year and a half. So I don't know that there's anything for certain here. What does that change about the game plan on Saturday for Clemson when you learn that this is the case effectively, what, 3.5 days before the game? And the answer for me is, if I am sitting there drawing up the game plan, if I am the guy that is in charge of this, if I am Wes Goodwin, who, by the way, I tell you what, Wes Goodwin's one of the most interesting characters that I've ever met as a coach. Wes Goodwin cracks me up, great one, because I've interviewed him a couple of times at media days and press conferences. Wes looks like a dude named Tanner who invites you out on his parents' boat, right? You know what I mean. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean, but I will take your word for it.
He's got that Alabama shag haircut.
Okay.
Right? He's a dude that wears like Sperry's and khaki shorts with a 6-inch inseam. You know what I'm talking about, all right? But
the preppies in Ohio are totally different than the preppies in Florida, apparently.
Well, I'm telling you about the preppies in Florida because okay, he looks like right. One of them, okay. All right? And there's nothing wrong with that because me too, Wes, me too. But it's funny because when you talk to Wes Goodwin in an official capacity, you're asking him questions as a broadcaster to share those answers with Clemson fans in the public eye. Wes is very, I don't really know how to explain it. Like, he's very choppy with his answers, right? He respectfully, because I do respect him, respectfully, he comes across as, like, completely lacking confidence, right, in his answers, completely lacking conviction in his answers. But then you talk to him off the record, right? You're just saying hi. You're passing him at media day, and you're just saying hi. The guy's just a guy. He's great. And he's intense, and he's one of those dudes that, like, the football brain never turns off. Every time that I have asked Clemson defenders about working with Wes, every one of them is like, that's the most Jekyll and Hyde dude. Like out here in the public, he's nice. And he is. He's a very nice guy. He's nice. He's calm. He's relaxed. Like he almost comes across as like the guy that does not want the spotlight at all. They're like, at practice, he kicks your ass. At practice, he is just on you, dude. Like there's no chill. Barrett? I think Carter Barrett described him as having no chill. I'm like, all right, man, I get it. I like that. If I'm Wes Goodwin today, every play's a blitz. I am doing everything in my power to just smoke Carson Beck this weekend because I'm not afraid of the run anymore, right? I might have been a little bit afraid of the run if they were bringing ETN and Roderick Robinson both. Got to say the full name because Branson Robinson's going to be the backup that is the QB1 in this. If they add ETN and both Robinsons available, honestly, I'm a little scared of the run because you've got a very versatile backfield with those three guys back there. Without those three guys, it's not that versatile of a backfield. Like, I'm obviously concerned about Branson Robinson because, again, he a thick boy, and the thick boys scare me a little bit. He's got some mass and some buttocks to him that is going to allow him to own the line of scrimmage. But that's really it. I think they're very one-dimensional. I don't know what Cash Jones is going to be as a scat back. I don't know what that guy's going to be as a scat back. So to me, when I look at this team without their top two rushing backs, if I'm Clemson's defense and I believe that my strength is in the defensive line, if I believe that guys are going to be able to get off the ball, guys like Peter Woods have an exceptional responsibility to control the line this year, I'm bringing everything I got. I am zero blitzing every time. I want Carson Beck's life to be hell this year. I want Carson Beck's life to just be absolute chaos. I am unleashing TJ Parker on the left edge. I am unleashing Peter Woods on the right edge. Pair of sophomores and two of the most promising young defensive linemen, not in the ACC, in college football. I am turning these dudes loose. And until Georgia shows me that, yo, it don't matter, we can still run the football, I am playing them as if they cannot. Do you know why so many teams, even teams with great quarterbacks, so many teams, especially at the college level, put that emphasis on we've got to be able to run the football? I want you to pay attention to this year, halftime interviews, when coaches are going into the locker room and the sideline reporter grabs him. Oh, I'm down here with head coach of the so-and-so, so-and-so's, coach so-and-so. Coach, real good look in the first half here. What do you want to see your team do differently in the second half? Coach, you're behind the eight ball a little bit here. You let them jump out to an early lead. Still plenty of time. What do you want to see them do differently in the second half? 87.73456% of those interviews end with a coach saying, well, we gotta come out and be able to run the football in the second half. Why is that? Because, again, specifically in college ball, but it is true even at the National Football League level, you have got to keep the run game strong to open up the pass game, even for the best quarterbacks. I want you to go back last year, too, and I've used them as an example so many times because I don't think there's a better one. I want you to go back to the Baltimore Ravens last year. When Gus Edwards, when the Gus bus was rolling full gear, when Gus was at his best last year, the Ravens were at their most dangerous. All the games, especially the ones against top-notch competition, that the Ravens won last year were because they had a very healthy mix of Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson. Gus was the key that unlocked Lamar and allowed Lamar to go win an NFL MVP award. Remember what happened last year, Lonzo does, in the AFC Championship game, the Kansas City Chiefs once again defeated the Baltimore Ravens. Last year was the best chance so far that the Ravens have had to knock off the Chiefs. They didn't do it. Why? What changed? They stopped. They did not utilize Gus Edwards. They got away from the run game. They ran Gus Edwards, what was it, three times in that game. The guy that carried them and carried Lamar to an MVP, they ran him three times in that game. And wouldn't you know what happened? Couldn't move the ball. The Chiefs were able to drop an extra man back in the nickel, take a lot away from Lamar Jackson, make Lamar Jackson a more one-dimensional quarterback. And the Ravens didn't look like the same old Ravens anymore. They fell off because of that. You have got to run the ball to establish the pass. Well, if I am Clemson, I from the get am bringing extra pressure against Carson Beck because I'm not afraid of the run. The top two ball carriers for Georgia are both out for this game. To me, tee it up a little higher. And as we say on the golf course, grip it and rip it. Go get it. Tee off and go get him. And I think that's it. We asked John Blau back on Monday from the Post and Courier, fill in the blank, John Blau, if the Clemson Tigers win this game, it's because blank. And his answer was twofold. Number one, limit turnovers. And number two, establish the run. Well, I am going to say those things are still true and those things are still accurate. But I'm going to add now two more addendums. Number one, kill the Georgia run game. I mean, kill it. And nip it in the bud. Never let it get off the ground. You are going with 3 RB and 4 RB as RB1 and RB2. Kill the run game. Do not let them get comfortable running the ball with backup running backs. And number two, create turnovers. Yeah, focus on not giving them away, but create them. When two running backs that do not have any combined experience between them in the last year and a half are the guys that are touching the ball the most, I've got to take advantage of that. I need to attack them. I need to get to them. I need to disrupt them. I need to close holes. I need to punch the ball. And I need to get Georgia to put the ball on the ground. Matt and Greer text the show, said, Rob, Clemson needs to have a focus on creating turnovers. I feel like if they get three, they win the game. I agree with your blitz strategy. I'm going to tell you right now, Zoe, I think if Clemson's plus one in the turnover department without Georgia having their top two RBs, if they're plus one, they win this game. But I'm betting the under.
I think Clemson needs to worry about their own turnovers. Again, until Cade shows us he can do it, be mistake-free for a season, that would be my biggest concern.
I agree with that, but here's the thing. The defense ain't on the field. They got nothing to worry about with Cade Klubnik. There's nothing they can do about Cade Klubnik. What they can do is go attack the football, and again,
The Clemson defense is going to be good because they have been good. I think you're making too much about this being the backups for Georgia. Don't they have a good quarterback? Last I checked, look at it.
I'm not as high on Carson Beck as everybody. Everybody's making Carson Beck out to be the number one pick in next year's NFL draft, and I'm not convinced that. You know how I view Carson Beck? I view Carson Beck kind of like I view Brock Purdy. He's fine. He's fine. He's good enough. He's absolutely good enough to get you to and maybe even win a title. But he's good enough to win you a title. He's not good enough to carry. He is not good enough to carry a good team there. He's good enough to be carried there by a good team. Does that make sense? Like, that's how I feel about Brock Purdy. Brock's fine, and he's good enough, but he's got to get dragged by Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey and Juszczyk and Ayuk. He's got to get dragged there by. If you flipped him and, I don't know, pick another generic average quarterback in the league. If I brought Baker Mayfield into San Francisco, that team's still good enough to go win a title. It ain't Brock Purdy. And I feel that way about Georgia. If Georgia wins a title, it won't be because of Carson Beck. It'll be with Carson Beck. Last year, Washington. Washington didn't get to the finals because Washington was good. They got there because of Michael Penix Jr., and they were good enough to go for the ride. It's the other way with Carson Beck.
All right, real quick. Has the line dropped since
That's a real good question. Let's go find out. And I'll find out very quickly. The line, obviously, as we mentioned, was 13.5, which meant Clemson needed to be inside of 13.5. Georgia needed to win by 14 or better. The line right now, as I head over to our friends at BetMGM and pull up the week one slate, the line now is still 13.5. Zoe, that might be the number you play for Clemson. Plus 13.5 when they're missing their top two running backs. And I can just, because here's the thing.
Or does Vegas like, yeah, it's no big deal.
No, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. I would not be shocked if by the time we come back tomorrow, this number's closer to maybe 12.5, maybe 11.5. Because again, Carson Beck's fine, but I'm blitzing the bleep out of him on Saturday. All right, we'll talk more about this. Texter said, keep it on the ground for Clemson. Just use Cade for dinks and dunks. I think you got to try. I agree. But I think you got to threaten every now and then. Now, the Cade Klubnik of sports flashes, Lonzo.
Do you want me to just leave this blank and just not say anything? Because I can do that. Probably frowned upon. The Atlanta Braves took the second game in a 3-game set against the Minnesota Twins with an 8-6 win in 10 innings last night. Closer Raisel Iglesias was awarded the win. The Braves led 4-0 before allowing a 4-run rally in the last 3 innings. Atlanta remains 6 back of Philadelphia in the division and 3 up on New York for the wild card. Yesterday was cut day in the NFL as rosters got down to 53. The Carolina Panthers released wide receivers Michael Strachan and Terrace Marshall Jr., linebacker Aaron Beasley, linebacker Chandler Wooten, and quarterback Jack Plummer. Tune in this Saturday at 5:30 as the Furman Paladins get their college football season started as they take on the Ole Miss Rebels. It's Furman versus Ole Miss right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.